Welcome everybody to the R&B podcast. You know it's lit and it's love lighting our path. Be free, be Latrice, can we do it? Holding that talk, cause you know we getting to it. Powered by the king, so our love is his magic. Speaking that truth, and you know you gotta grab it. The love is authentic, so you know you gotta have it. Classic R&B, you now rocking with the badges.
Welcome, welcome, welcome everybody to another edition of the Classic R&B Podcast. How are
Good
you doing
morning.
Today, ma'am?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Are you pregnant still?
Yeah.
Is that working out?
It's working.
What month are we in now? What week?
We're in nine. Month nine.
Week 36.
We are almost to the finish line.
Almost there. Well, we have some special guests today who I am really excited to chat with today. And why don't you introduce them? Because you knew them before I did. So maybe you can bust
them. I did. So yes, we have some very special guests in the building this morning. They are another young, married, thriving couple who met in a similar way as we did.
Sure.
And they are none other than Ron and Faith Wilson.
Good morning, Wilson.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
B, how did you meet them? And who did you meet first? And how did it work?
I'm pretty sure I met Ron first.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I met Ron first, and honestly,
was it through TOU?
Mm-hmm.
It was
through that whole network.
Yeah.
It was
a whole clique of us. It was like it was a good starting five of us. We should circle around.
I didn't actually know if you was a TOU alum, Ron. I didn't know at all. I had joined.
What was that? February of 2018.
Oh, you was a break the cursor.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
I joined through that. Yeah.
Okay. And then there's Miss Faith Wilson. Good morning. How are you, ma'am?
I'm trying to remember when Faith came in the picture.
She came later.
I think Faith was already.
I was already in TOU, so we welcomed y'all's cohort in.
Oh, excuse me.
So were you were there? Because I came in 2017. When did you come in? We saying it like it's a.
So if he came in 2018, okay, so if you came in 2017, then...
I was March of 2018.
Okay, so then you and I came in probably around the same time, but we just weren't acquainted with one another then.
Gotcha.
All right. So for those who don't know the Wilsons, you did have a very interesting story. Can you share a little bit about your story of meeting each other? One highlight that I will say... I remember, I don't know if it was a surprise date, but Faith was hiding up under a desk. And
she touched the desk.
She's on the floor. I think she touched the desk or the chair. She's like, oh my God, what is on my hands? It was like in the middle of the entire experience. And then this dude standing there with some flowers. Explain before that happened how the whole entrance of y'all meeting started and all that.
I actually said, ew, what the frick is that? Because it literally, if y'all could feel what I felt when I touched that chair. Go ahead, babe, you can start.
So I think, when you're new to joining something, right, you want to do your due diligence and see what you've come into. So, throughout TLU, everyone is, it was something. Everyone was just welcoming, explaining why they joined and the experience thus far leading to why they joined TOU. And, I was scrolling down, reading everyone's synopsis or summary of their current journey in singleness.
Oh, you was fishing.
So,
got it.
You said what?
You was fishing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Got definitely. And so I came across my now wife, Faith. It was something like, I don't know, she loves to write a dissertation. And so I was reading her.
Hold on. You said she loves to write a dissertation.
Man, listen, my wife is very.
She's Bishop Eddie Longwind's sister.
She really is. I love her, but she really is.
Listen, she is very thorough and she's going to give you every detail to paint the picture. Well, whatever analogy or whatever it is to make sure that you understand her perspective, her thoughts, her everything. And so, I was reading it and from the gist of it, I was touched. I was touched. And so, I said my little two cents, like, wow. I think I said something online, like, wow, faith. I can't remember what I said.
It was just like praying for you. It wasn't deep. It was
It wasn't deep, but what she wrote was deep. I was like, man, that thing.
He's like, yo, my name is Ron. I'm from Florida. You know what to do, and I love Jesus.
Yeah, well, so I think from there, you know, I guess, I don't know.
Let me tap in. I shared my testimony. So I have been in and out of TOU for a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, just not submitting to the Lord. We just gonna keep it what it is. And I finally came back. This was May of 2018, I believe.
Yeah,
it was May. I came back and was like, all right, I'm done with these busters. I'm done with all this stuff that I'm doing. And I just shared, I exposed myself because one of the things that kept me bound was living in secrecy. You know, being able to put up this kind of facade of looking and doing well. But things were not looking and doing well. So I came in, exposed myself, was like, y'all, I'm ready to heal for real. Ready to do this thing. So then a lot of people commented on that post. He was one of the comments that, like, I saw his comment, but I didn't even, like, I was in such a place of, like, okay, God, I'm ready to do this with you. Mm-hmm. His comment was one amongst all of them. So then fast forward a few months, somehow I got into the crew. So there was, like, this crew that Ron was in, a virtual crew. And I don't even know how I became part of the crew. I don't even know how. I think we were all like, just like, you know, the outspoken, invested, really engaging people. And we just all kind of connected.
The icebreakers.
So that was, okay. So that was how, so that was kind of how we became friends.
Yeah.
That was kind of how we became, Facebook friends. This is all virtual.
Gotcha.
All online.
I don't know. Man, this whole time I'm thinking this woman is like 30 plus. But she was, listen, I love me a mature woman mature in speech, mature in thought, you know, and then, you know, mature in age up to a certain point.
Right.
So she was all that. She was all that.
Right.
So how did y'all go from friends to husband and wife?
Can we go to dating? Can we get the dating?
Yeah, that's part of that. Engagement? That's part of that.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Because right now we friends. We in the circle. We good.
He's doing the typical dude, single, fishing thing, checking out the pictures.
But now we married and got a whole baby. So what that in between look like?
So what was it?
I know y'all did that fit challenge.
Yeah.
That the start of like the romance.
Nah, I mean the very, very, very end, like literally the end of it.
The introduction.
That was the introduction to us kind of getting to know each other more personally.
Yeah, that's when I shot my shot.
Yeah.
It was at the accumulation of our 21-day ab and push-up challenge.
So y'all weren't dating when you did the challenge.
They were really business partners. Dating.
Okay, so let's not assume that everybody knows what we're talking about, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you guys, tell us about the challenge that you had started off doing. Who started it? How did it start? And how did that start to roll into, you know, relationship land? Just for those who are listening, here's what you don't see, right?
Okay.
This is what you don't see. You hear it. They are currently, they just woke up not too long ago, or maybe they haven't slept at all, right? They have Nehemiah who's sitting on their lap. Faith is multitasking. She just finished nursing a few minutes ago. Ron's thinking in his head, okay, I got a client that I got to need to get ready for. And they're planning their days mentally. They are in the, and there,
and there, oh, is,
there
Nehemiah.
Is Nehemiah, right? And so one of the reasons that we wanted to kind of have a conversation with this couple is because, so we all kind of connected through the same ministry, right? Mm-hmm. And there's this idea of what we all believe that it's all going to flow and be like versus here's the reality of what that may actually look like for you. We can go through the cool, you know, super great dating stuff, but right after that may come a baby, like fast, may come pregnancy fast.
Yeah.
And the reality is like, hey, I've only actually known you maybe for 6 months, right? So, you know, talk a little bit about from the dating part going into engagement and then leading up to now we married and this is what life looks like for us on the other side of that.
Wait, one question. So how long did you date before you got engaged?
Officially, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, like 10 months.
And then how long was your engagement before marriage?
a month.
Was it a month?
Maybe
was
it a month. 3 weeks?
Was it only a month?
It was maybe a month.
I didn't even realize it was that short.
It was very short. It was very short. It's like we had. So I'm sorry, y'all. We don't know what this noise is in the background. We're trying to figure it out. But what was it? It was
Veterans Day weekend was of that November is when we got engaged. Yeah. And then we got married on December 14th. So about a month.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So you're talking about 11-month, essentially 11-month process from dating to marriage.
Mm-hmm. So what made y'all decide to say, you know, we've done this dating thing. We're going to a hyphen of engagement and then we get married.
So before we made things official, you know, I put all my eggs in the basket. I'm like, listen, I'm at a point in life where I am looking to find my partner, my equal. Like I'm ready to settle down and marriage is the next step for me. Mm-hmm. And so I told her this is where I am currently in school. So I'm not working, but I have a plan. And so, you know, I kind of gave a rough draft of where I was, you know, spiritually, mentally, financially, and such and such. And I just put everything out there. And so I put myself out there. My wife gave me her, you know.
I just want to put in there, ladies, he had a plan and he was working the plan, okay? So I didn't marry potential.
There you go.
Let me ask you this, Faith. What made you say, all right, dude? Because you mentioned a little bit about, all right, you went through the season of, you know, I'm kind of not doing everything that I should be doing with God. You said, I'm tired of these jokers. How do you go from that to, all right, we're going to date and then we're going to get married? Like, what was that process like for you?
So I had, after the last, you know, real devastating heartbreak that I had way before TOU, way before meeting all of you, I had told the Lord, I said, Lord, the next will be my last. I said, I can't do this anymore. I said, I cannot do this anymore, Lord. I said, whoever come my way, he need to come correct. And so there was this place where after surrendering, it was almost kind of like an expedited process because it was like I was delaying what God was already ready to do in me. Mm. And so the minute I said yes, and the minute I surrendered, the healing, the deliverance, me being able to see clearly and all of that. So I knew what I desired. So actually, when we, Ron and I met, and even when we became friends, I wasn't looking. I was just in this place, like, you know, tunnel vision, ministry, growing, connecting, networking, getting to know people. So I just thought it was cool. I was like, yo, I finally met, you know what I'm saying, another person in the kingdom, passionate about fitness, understands the connection between the spirit man and your physical man. Like, we can do things. And so that's what birthed the push-up and ab challenge. So it was like this, it was like, listen, like you kingdom, I'm kingdom. You know, like fitness is your thing. It's my thing.
Was that fitness flirting?
One more time?
Was that fitness flirting? Is that what that was?
Was it fitness flirting?
I've never heard of that. That's a new one. Never heard of that.
Hey, how many push-ups can you do? No, how many can you do? Well, I got you. Here's what I can do. And you're like, oh, really? Well, here's what I can do. Was that what it was?
No, so I will tell you this, though. What he did do was right before we birthed the challenge, he commented. So I posted a picture, and everybody comes on my picture. I'm like, oh, you look so pretty. He's the only one. He comes. Because I think in one of the pictures, I was kind of flexing, but not really.
She was flexing.
And he comes. He comes in the comments. How about them push-ups, though?
Yeah, I was looking at them arms. Them arms went.
I was like,
she skipped arm day. She skipped arm day.
It was something. Like, man, how about them push-ups, though? You flexing, though, for real.
See, that's a line, Ron. That's what that is. That's a line.
That sounds like one to me.
Listen. And so, of course, after that, we talked, started the challenge. Friends all throughout this. I wasn't interested, you know, in him or even thinking about us as a couple. And so at the very end of the challenge, I mean, I literally think it was like the last day, maybe the second to last day. I was planning on going on a fast and kind of a sabbatical anyways, kind of getting off social media and stuff like that. And we had a recap of the challenge, you know, what went well, what could we have done better? If we do this in the future, how will we do it? Mm-hmm. And then at the very end of that conversation, that's where Brother Man, you know, his voice changed. So he wanted to talk to me. And that's where he expressed his interest. Mm. And I was like, oh, wow.
I really wasn't interested in
your pushups. You know, laid it heavy.
I really wasn't interested in your pushups at all.
Because you know. I know there had been a lot of speculation around that. Like, I think a lot of people were already wondering, like, okay, is this like just a challenge for real? Are they talking to each other? Like, what's going on? There was a lot of speculation already floating around. Like, what's up with this? Like,
right. So fast forwarding into engagement, you decide, all right, we're ready to do this, right? So what was your thought process? Like, all right, because you said something a little bit, Faith, where you also clarified, you said, listen, he was not a dude who was just a bunch of potential, right? He was doing, like, talk a little bit about that, because I think there's a lot of people who like, you already know what some may think, some may assume. Talk a little bit about that.
Trying to think, push-up challenge September, October. So we kind of started like actually, I guess what, you know, could be considered like talking, the end of 2018. So we weren't dating, but it was just like, okay, let's have more conversations. This was after he expressed his interest. Mm-hmm. And I was like, let's just stay friends, but we can get to know each other more. And so we started having more conversations on Facebook, but I didn't give him my phone number because I felt like that was too invasive. Mm. And I didn't want to, you know, just give that out frivolously.
Playing hard to get.
So, in that learning, like, okay, this man is a military veteran. He has chosen to change his whole entire, you know, life career from what he was doing in the military. Now he's really pursuing, you know, what he has spent time in prayer, you know, really asking God about, you know, what he wants to do. And so he is pursuing that. He is actively in school, you know, actively speaking to people, finding out the steps that it takes to become a doctor of physical therapy. And so for me, because people can tell you all the time, I'm going back to school, I'm doing those things, but he was doing it. You know, he was making those steps. He had already made the change. And so for me to see that, and then for him to have such a, I mean, it wasn't like, it was detailed. It was detailed enough to be like, you know, this is what I desire. This is where I am. These are the steps that I plan to take there. And to see you on one of the steps, it was like, okay, you know, I can get with this. And I had always said, I think I even have journals where I've written it. You know, I told God, I said, Lord, I don't mind building with a man. I literally said that to the Lord. I said, I do not mind building. And I even went as far to say, Lord, I actually believe who you called me to marry. Like, we're actually going to build together from the ground up. Like, it's not going to be this person where I meet him and he got, you know, millions already and he out here, you know what I'm saying? But like, we're going to build that legacy, that empire for you together.
Yeah.
Right, right, right. So shifting, I want to touch on that a little bit, right? Because there is so much that I see, and I see you comment a lot, Faith, when you're not on one of your many sabbaticals from social media land that's like 80% sabbatical, 20% commentary, where there's somewhat of a narrative or all these ideas that you now see from the lens of we're married, we're building, we're in covenant versus the single mindset and some of what you were thinking, it's a whole bunch of hoopla and fictitious stuff, right? Mm-hmm. It's not real.
Yeah.
You know, and we talk about it a lot because we're like, we're not saying that we're that far removed from the single world. But I think even the similarities is, you know, even when we were going to get married, we already knew in our mind, like, some of this is just trash. Like, this
what
is trash.
I think it's also like, it's the rage of social media. So you have all these like memes floating around about what relationships are supposed to look like. And people who are single, like, they read this stuff, it's so romanticized, so fantasized. And so they get caught in this mindset of, oh, this is what it's supposed to be. So when you meet someone who is not a millionaire already or doesn't have the business already established, it's like, oh, they are a bum. Like, can't be me. Like, I'm not, you know what I mean? And I feel like that's one of the downsides of social media is we, you know, we share, well, I don't share that crap, but people share that stuff out and people really start to believe like, this is what I need. I need an established person who's already got it together and who's, and it's like, sometimes that's not what it is. Like, there's nothing wrong with building something with someone.
Yeah.
As long as, like you said, there is a plan in place, right? You're not just marrying somebody who said, oh, this is what I want to do. Okay, well, how you gonna do it? I don't know yet, but this is what I want to do. Like, nah, like, you gotta have some plans in place. But I think that's one thing that's fallen lost on this generation is that that desire to want to build with someone as opposed to, well, you need to be ready made when I meet you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's honestly one of, there are multiple factors, but that's not what this podcast is here for today. But it's one of the things that is keeping a lot of people single.
Yeah.
It is one of the major
factors. You can name about three of them if you want. It's fine. But it's a big deal, man. And I'm just like, y'all are passing up a lot of real, authentic opportunities and building real relationships. Yeah. You know, and I do believe it is a ploy and plot of the enemy to keep you confused, blinded, and manipulated. Right? Like, he's like, okay, well, if I can't get him into kingdom marriages, at least I'll just keep him out. Right?
Come on.
Like, let me go further back. Right? Let me confuse what you think this is supposed to be anyways. Which is one of the reasons I was like, I would like to talk with them, because they're not that far removed. They can give wisdom and insight, but also the truth of, here's what it really is. This is real work. Right?
Yeah.
Now, talk about, Ron, you know, what it was like, let's say, like, the first 90 to 120 days of y'all now being married, and what that new change and transition was like. Because y'all also, at one point, you were in different states, you're merging these worlds together. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that.
So before I get in that, when my wife shared to me, like, that she was really willing to build, that was like a reprieve for myself. You know what I'm saying? Cause I, you know, granted, I put myself out there like, yo, listen, I ain't where I want to be, but I'm working towards where I want to be. Like, it made the pursuit that much more better. Cause I knew in the back of my mind, like, yo, despite the things that I don't have, she accepts me where I am.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a true testament of a person's character. There's no hidden agendas, or if there is, this is she playing a long game, hoping I win or strike gold. And so, you know, that was a plus for me. Like, man, like, dang, like, cause you know, as a man, you know what I'm saying? You want to show that you can provide for your partner.
Yeah.
You know, was there any internal insecurity that you might've already been wrestling with?
Definitely. Because at the time, you know, I was in transition. I was almost a year removed from a failed engagement. Left another state, was in my family house. You know, I moved back to Florida. So my folks have two houses, and I was in the other house, you know, trying to, you know, pick myself back up, you know, spiritually, financially, you know what I'm saying? Just like recalibrate, you know, as a man, because I didn't want to just jump right into another, you know, relationship, and I'm still healing.
Yeah.
So, you know, fast forward to, you know, dating, and you said the first 90 days before marriage. And
No. When you got married.
When I got married.
Right.
Okay. So yeah. Like before that, a good 90%, I'll say 100% of our dating engagement was in two different states. She was living in Atlanta.
I'm living in long Florida. Distance, digital.
Yes, long distance.
We know all about that life.
And so, you know, when we got married, you know, it was automatic. Like, man, I see you every day now. Oh, man.
What was that like?
I mean, okay, it was different because, you know, this was before COVID. So, you know, she was working.
Was Faith living in the heavenly realms with sackcloth and myrrh? Yeah. And you woke up and you just saw her in full worship in tongues and all throughout the house. That's not what happened. I feel like that's with African garb on.
Listen.
I got on three outfits, babe. Black, sackcloth, myrrh, and my knitted.
That's what it was. And he's like, for real? Like, this is for real? That's what we're doing?
Nah, it wasn't nothing like that. But it was it was a quick change, you know what I'm saying? I was like, man, like this is it. You know, we're married, we just got off our honeymoon, and right to work we go. You know, I'm moving to Atlanta. You know, I was ready to leave Florida, you know what I'm saying? You know, being home, I'm like, yo, I need to be somewhere else. You know, let me just move to the city. It's easy to transition. My wife already employed. I ain't trying to have, well, she was willing to move to home. And I was like, nah, man, you know, we need to.
So you was ready to leave Atlanta, Faith?
I was trying to get up out of Georgia. Listen, y'all, I was born to travel, okay? I was born to travel. And so I was like, and I had, listen, I'm one of them kids. I was telling God about my plans for my life, my whole life. So I was like, Lord, if you ever give me an opportunity, I would love to live in Florida, God. Wow. That's the state that I want to live in. Lord, I want to live in Florida. That's where, if I stay in the States, because I really want to go international. Mm. And so then I'm like, Lord, you done sent me a Florida man. It's time to go. Wow. Nah, the Lord said, y'all stay in Atlanta. And so that dream kind of went, I think it's delayed. I can't say that it's not going to happen. Mm. But we had to obey because obedience is better than sacrifice.
I have a question. So I know you said you got married and then you said right to work we go. And so I want to talk about that a little bit because I think another piece of like when we think about marriage and on the other side, we're always fed this like, oh, you're going to have this honeymoon period and everything's going to be easy and breezy for the first X amount of days. And it's
just
going to be
a year of lovemaking, passionate.
Right. You know, you're just going to have sex every day and just gaze into each other's eyes. And it's just going to be beautiful. Let me tell you, we had our first situation with the day after we got married. Like it was an immediate thing. Like it didn't wait a year. You know what I mean? Like it's cute and all. And I'm not saying like, you know, there's not great moments because, of course, we had great moments our first year, first month, whatever. But
you guys also got pregnant. There is,
you know what I mean? Like, there's this fantasy of like you get married and then like everything crazy stops. Yeah, everything crazy stops, and you're just like, just everything's beautiful.
Money just overflowing everywhere.
Right. What was it like? But you were like, no, we got married and we got like, we had to get right to work. What did that look like for you? And was that different than what you had imagined or thought about what marriage would be?
Definitely. Because one, we both weren't where we desired financially. It was before we got married, but we were actively looking like, where are we going to stay? Mm-hmm. You know, living in Atlanta in a big city. You know, we got to stay within our budget. And so that was a whole stressful thing right there. You know, I'm not from here. Mm-hmm. So my wife, she was already actively searching. And so we, like literally when I came back, we finally solidified where we were staying. Like that in itself was just stressful. You know, we were working together, you know, already trying to like, yo, babe, like this is where we at.
I was sending him places and he kind of just at one point was just like, I trust you, you do it, because he was trying to get his stuff together to leave Florida and I'm already here. So it was kind of getting stressful trying to come together. You know, we wanted to be unified, but he was just like, listen, you find us a place to live. Yeah. I'm going to, you know, get these other things, because he had to figure out how he was going to get his things us wanting to be cost efficient, because all of these things take money. You don't just up and leave and move to another state. And so, right. Y'all know a little something about
Absolutely.
That.
Mm-hmm.
And man, so,
I was trying to see where school I was trying to go to, because, you know, being a full-time student, you know, with my benefits, I get a stipend for the months I'm in. So I was trying to really solidify before I move, like, yo, where am I going to go? Because I got to go up to the school, transfer everything.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, man. So I need
this. How long were y'all married and living separately?
No.
So this was all before you got married. Okay.
Yeah. So this is like the very short window
Between engagement. Okay.
Like pre-engagement. Because we had actually set the date for the wedding and everything before we got engaged.
Gotcha.
Whoa. Pause. You can't just move past that.
They had a plan. Remember, they were planners. They set the date before they got engaged.
You set the wedding date.
So just know you got to propose before this time.
How does that work? Can you explain that to me?
it was very unorthodox.
We knew we were getting married.
Mm-hmm.
Away, once we decided that it was going to be in this time, it's like, all right, set the date. We already started planning, and he knew he had to propose before then.
Wow. Wow,
that's just it. Listen, yeah. we got 2 months to our wedding date, so you need to pick a day and propose.
I don't remember them sharing that publicly. That was an exclusive. You're gonna really upset some people on this episode, right?
we are definitely a unconventional pair,
right? So unpacking that a little bit more. Some people, some schools of thoughts are, listen, wait as long as you can to have a child because you still need time to get to know each other. If you're going to travel, do all that stuff, you know, before life really hits, you know, but boop, Nehemiah. Like, how does that work? I mean, we know how it works, but, you know, can you unpack that? You know, in Faith, you shared pieces of your journey of motherhood or the challenges therein packaged in that. I want to shift into that part of the relationship as well.
Yes. So to kind of tie that in with the first like 90 days, because we actually got pregnant about within the first 90 days.
Oh, praise the Lord.
So if y'all haven't realized the theme, listeners, I'm a planner. Okay, so I had
planned on him.
No, he was not a part of that plan, right? Not then, at least.
Nehemiah was supposed to come year 3. Okay, that was the plan.
Okay.
He came month 3. Month 3, we got pregnant.
Oh, you got those threes confused. Got it.
Yeah. In the spirit realm, something happened with the prayer went up, and it got a little confused, and so. In full transparency, I was actually pretty upset because I really had this idea of us really getting to know each other as husband and wife, traveling. I mean, we didn't know the pandemic was about the same month we got pregnant was the same month that everything shut down too.
Wow.
Lockdown. So I had this idea and this vision, you know, we're going to travel, get to know each other better as husband and wife, just have fun together before we have a baby. And that was not how it happened. And so our first like maybe 30 days was a little bit of kind of like the fantasy of, you know, having a good time, honeymoon.
30 days of love.
That's probably why Nehemiah is here. And so but even with that, it's funny because we were getting off the cruise ship. So this was right after our honeymoon to actually answer another question. And as we had a great time. And it was like the last day I saw my husband's countenance change. It was like he knew the work about to start. And I was like, are you all right? Is everything okay? Like, what is going on?
What was that, Ron? What did you see?
Man, because, you know, I'm very linear in thinking. Like, I enjoy the moments as they come. And so it's hard for me to keep a poker face. Cause especially when you're still trying to have everything set. And then, you know, when things are out of your control, you know what I'm saying? That I think that's where my countenance was just like, oh, how am I gonna do this? How are we gonna I think I might have echoed like, hey babe, listen, we ain't gonna be in this honeymoon phase long. Like I was already I probably, you know, hurt her feelings or something. Like I know I did. Like it was like, maybe listen.
Right after you got off the boat?
After probably on the drive, the 10-hour drive back.
Right after we got off the boat.
Do you think that some of that was mental preparation? Or was it like I feel in my spirit something's about to shift?
It was a combination of things.
I love it. It's all up in your business right now.
We had spent a whole lot of money on our honeymoon, and I got to travel to Atlanta. I still got to get a rental. You know,
everything just started hitting at once. It was like the realities just started to hit. Like
I was like, man, I'm not single no more. I have a whole wife. That it was a struggle because I was trying to slowly decompose my single man mindset. I think it was an eternal battle, and I didn't know how to communicate at the time to my wife what I was struggling with. And so I would say the first 3 months of marriage were it was a whole bunch of spiritual warfare within me. Because you know what you don't deal with before marriage, everything is just compounded. And so we were okay, go ahead.
I wanna stop you right there because that's another idea that I want to confront. So today we're really dealing with the facts versus the fictions.
I struggled with
there's
the
an
same
idea
thing.
Of mm-hmm. we gonna have all this internal stuff done before we get married.
And not that and this idea of when I get married, everything's just gonna click. Everything's just gonna fall into place. My single mindset, that's gonna leave. Like I'm just going to, my husband has this thing that he says where he's like, things don't just happen by osmosis. But a lot of us walk around thinking, okay, as soon as I say I do, I'm a wife now, I'm a husband and mm-hmm. everything just clicks. Like I'm gonna wake up tomorrow and I'm gonna serve him like the wife that I'm supposed, it's just gonna be this thing. And I had the same issue, if you will, where it took me some time for my single mindset to decompose itself right. and my situation being a little bit different where there were children already involved.
I remember one of our first arguments because we moved into the apartment, right? And in her
in
her defense, she was moving into our space, right?
Sure I was. Say our, nothing it was about it was me.
You brought the couches and you brought some artwork, which is cool, right? Mm-hmm. You got some more decor in there. But I remember this one time, I was like cleaning and getting everything, you know, super together. And she was just like chilling. And I was like, yo, what are you doing? And she's like, what do you mean? I was like, fam, there is all this stuff to do. And you were just like chilling, not helping at all. Right. Mm-hmm. And it was like a Saturday. So in Brittany's world, Saturday was, look, I'm a lounge.
It's a chill day.
I may do laundry. I may not.
But I didn't realize that you had to still take care of the family.
It's going
to
be me in this remote for a good while. And I was like, dude, Saturday represents everything we couldn't do Monday through Friday. It needs to happen now. And because here comes Mo and Joe, and they're going to need all this stuff done. And then, because I'm like, Ron, I'm already thinking in my head, seven moves ahead of what needs to happen up the road. And men do that. Like, we're thinking, even when we talk about, did he have vision and all this preparation, blah, blah, blah. You don't want to marry a visionary, right? You don't really want that, right? Because we're thinking seven moves ahead. So
we're navigating seven moves ahead.
We're not just dealing with what's in the present. So you like, babe, let's just go get some ice cream. We're thinking, how's that ice cream going to impact this, this, and that? Am I going to have to work off these pounds? Is this going to be in the budget? Should I buy the ice cream store? Is that a good investment? We're thinking all these things connected to it. And you're like, oh, what do you mean? I just wanted ice cream. You're like, well, do you really want ice cream? Right?
So do we really need it, you know?
Do you really need it? Right? Because it all it's going to fall on us. You know, you're supposed to do that, 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 that. So it's like, all right, you want me to do that, 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 then I'm going to need that, 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 that. And so for us, early, like our first 90 days, it was like, ma'am,
it was a transition.
It's go time.
It was a transition. Like marriage is not like you don't just get married all the time and you just know everything to do. Like it's definitely a transition period. And there's definitely like, again, going from single to married and then single to married and mom. Yeah. It's hard. Like there is this time of you trying to figure out, okay, wait a minute. I'm not single anymore. So when I go to the grocery store, it's not just my palate that I have to be concerned about. I have to think about what X don't like, what X eats, what, you know what I mean? What they're allergic to. It really is a mindset shift. So I just wanted to acknowledge that as well.
Those push-ups become sit-ups on the couch, right? Where it's like, babe, remember we did that push-up challenge? And you'd be like, yeah, I remember that. That was cute, right? Can you pass me the MIS bag? Because I'm going to push that up and get that in the car. That's about all I'm pushing up today.
Sir, but I think too for us, we went from dating and courting and engaged and all of that long distance to now married in an apartment in a pandemic where we can't go nowhere.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And pregnant. So,
and then pregnant like 3 months later.
How did you guys navigate all of that?
He's like, I don't even know. It was by the grace of God. We got through each day.
If we're going to keep it 100.
I don't know that we did.
We, the grace of God.
Yeah, we'll say that.
That first
that sounds good. Year, that works.
No, like for real. Like the first year, we had to really fight for our marriage. And we just going, like, it was a lot.
Yeah.
It was a lot. Cause at the time, like, I was working at a job that, thank God, that I just, it had to be let go. They let me go, but that's another thing. But it was just very high stress job, you know, as a therapist. He's in school, but in a new place. So he's kind of trying to find his footing just in this whole new world of city life, because he says he's a country boy.
Definitely.
And he really is. Mm-hmm. And so that piece, and then we're merging our lives together. We're in the same space, in the same city, in the same everything for the first time in our whole relationship. Mm-hmm. And then this pandemic hits and financial things happen in. We find out we're pregnant. Emotional stuff, because there's an internal war he's going through. I get pregnant. There's an internal war and an internal growth happening. Mm. So it was a lot, to be very honest. And I mean, lots of prayer, lots of intense fellowships or intense conversations.
What did you learn about each other? And what did you learn about yourselves individually?
Now that's good. That's a phenomenal question.
So
go ahead, babe.
I learned that when you die to self and when you tend to each other's needs, getting along becomes like it's easy. You know what I'm saying? Like when you have, like, okay, man, listen, my wife is going through this. She's going through this. She needs this from me. So let me put my focus there. And so if I'm constantly doing this, or if I can constantly do this, like, there's a shift that happens. And so, you know, I had, you know, even when our strong disagreements, you know what I'm saying, we had to choose not to be silent. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, from
say year that again, one. Say that again. You said in your strong disagreements, you had to choose not to be silent.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
So what I mean by that, like, we have to, we still had to talk to each other. We still had to acknowledge one another. We still had to, you know, love one another. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, like not going to bed, you know, addressing the situation, not going to bed with unforgiveness, you know what I'm saying? You're praying. I'm like, well, you can pray, but I don't think these prayers being answered, because you know over here, you know, we got beef and we ain't addressed the beef. We ain't come to a resolution.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know, both of us don't like conflict. So we had all this conflict, and we still, you know, pushing it under the rug. We're not trying to, you know, push each other over the edge. And so we was doing that, but you know, it was more so. It had looked different. And so I learned that, you know, when I can, when my wife is taken care of, nothing else matters. Even, you know what I'm saying, like when she is taken care of, she can be her true authentic self. She can be a mother, a wife, a friend, an entrepreneur, a intercessor, and all these other titles that she can put on. You know, she feels safe at home.
What does her being taken care of look like?
Words of affirmation. You know, just you know, simple, like, babe, I appreciate you. I see you have outdone yourself this week. Like, I just want to just acknowledge the fact that I'm so glad to have you in my life. Like, I'm so glad that there is no other woman that can handle me like you handle me. You know what I'm saying? Like, just really affirming her, you know, really letting her know that she has someone by her side. You know what I'm saying? Like, someone that she can just really relax and doesn't have to have her guard up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's more so intangible than tangible. Now the tangible things are nice, but it's more so intangible, knowing that, you know what I'm saying, she has answered her answered prayers aren't in vain. You know what I'm saying? So
I'll add to that. So I guess, you know, what have we learned about each other and as well as ourselves? So with what my husband said, it's vice versa, though. So, like, I think one of the quotes I remember about marriage that really has stuck with me probably for the last 12 or so years is about marriage is about who can outserve the other. Mm-hmm. It's about who can outserve the other. And so really learning how to serve one another, and then also it changes. And so for me, things that, you know, before I got pregnant, but then when I got pregnant, and then when I had Nehemiah, it was a lot of changes for me about what it was that, you know, I needed in order to feel that love, that support, all of those things. And so, you know, with just the learning how to serve one another and being flexible and fluid enough for that to change throughout the course of the relationship. And we haven't even been married we'll be married 2 years on the 14th,
Tuesday,
you know, of this month. And so like to have had so much change already happen, we've really had to learn in a different way how to adapt. You know, he says that all the time. Like we know how to adapt. Like that's our thing. And so we had to learn that in a whole nother way. And then about myself, I realized in a different, on another level, the fighter and the contender in me. And it's a part of myself that I almost kind of wanted to, like, I thought marriage, like, whoo, I can finally, like, relax. I can finally, Lord, I've been all my life, I had to fight. Like, I can finally stop all this. Just feeling like I'm always in a battle. God, like, I'm ready to rest. And I thought that marriage was going to bring that rest, and it has in a different way. But realizing that marriage, you know, is ministry, it's said a lot, you know, in Christian circles, but that there is an enemy who literally wants to sever all marriages, and he ain't playing no games about it. And so the different ways I had to learn how to fight for my marriage, which means fighting with, not against my husband, but us being back to back, fighting together and not fighting one another, like all of those things. Yeah, just very lots of revelations and understandings and then living it out.
Yeah.
Like living it out.
So, now being on the other side of it, right? What is some advice or wisdom that you would give to singles as well as engaged individuals, right? Because that is a culture that, you know, the four of us are not that far removed from, right? So I think even in that, sometimes when you have people who've been married for like 90 years, right? This sometimes there's a detachment in what their perception is of singleness. It's like, dude, I hear you, but I don't really think you understand this culture of singleness, right? So some of the stuff that you're saying, while it might be valuable, it may be better served from people who can actually connect to that audience a little bit more. What would your thoughts or advice or wisdom be to, because we're trying to dispel some of the myths, but also be assets to the body, because we know, listen, we want to see kingdom marriages prevail. We want to see whole relationships and restorative, and we see an attack that is happening. So let us turn around real fast and give you some game real quick. What would that be?
So I would, for this goes for both male and female, be a part of a church home that truly challenges you in every area, and get deliverance. Like, work out the, like, allow yourself to be processed through deliverance, because deliverance is truly a journey. You know what I'm saying? And in deliverance, you know what I'm saying, you are able to, whatever is hidden, whatever is secret to you, you are able to expose yourself, because you want to be as whole as you possibly can when you are building with your partner, with your spouse. Because that like what you don't deal with in your singleness, you will deal with in your marriage.
Absolutely.
And I feel like that, and have you a have some great accountability that won't sugarcoat nothing with you. You know what I'm saying? Like whatever accountability is, that needs to be present within your circle.
Let me ask you this, Ron, before you answer, babe. What, okay, how much should a man have together before taking that step? Like, what should he have? What shouldn't he have? Because you said, listen, we just broke some molds here. And I had a whole lot of I didn't have, but here's what I did have. Like, what do you feel like? Here's what, at least what you need to have.
You need to at least have a, like, have an active relationship and Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, cause like that is so crucial, and it's not publicly expressed enough as a man. Cause when you have, like, that's like a, that's like your if what was it? It's like you're a superhero when you have the Holy Spirit. When you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're just a regular human being. Mm. You don't want to be regular. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You want to have some extra oomph about you. Mm-hmm. And so whenever problems or issues or circumstances that are out of your control, you know what I'm saying, you have the Holy Spirit by your side to give you that wisdom, to give you that idea, to give you whatever. So if you ain't got nothing else, you know what I'm saying, you need Holy Spirit. As a man, you need Holy Spirit.
So you don't need a home in six figures and to be 7 feet?
I mean, it would be nice, but you know what I'm saying?
7 feet. He said a home, six figures, and seven feet.
But none of that matters if your character is out of order.
Yeah, that's good.
Listen, because sis, you will be in a, and vice versa, sis or bro, you will be secure or have all the material or financial things and be in straight up torment and turmoil in your soul and in your marriage, because that anchor and that foundation. And what's so beautiful is when you have the Holy Spirit, like you have a wealth of ideas. Yeah, you have a wealth of, I mean, like there is literally no lack. Because the greatest wealth is to be in Christ. And so I agree with that, man. Because all the other stuff, like Matthew 6:33 literally says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and everything else. All these
things will be added unto you.
Right.
So. Yeah.
And so.
Yeah. Any other wisdom or nuggets for the singles, Miss Faith?
Man, I was sitting here.
Because he gave that answer. You can't steal his. I mean,
I know, right?
We get it. You're one.
I just wanted to add. That's actually a question I've been thinking about a lot. So I think that this will be like an addition. So there is this idea, right? We throw around the word being whole. And people think, okay, what we equate wholeness to is perfection in our standard. And that's not accurate.
Yeah.
And so the wholeness that we should be pursuing, just to bring clarity to that, is really being in this place where it's like, Lord, everything in me. Everything about me. Like, Lord, I give that to you. Yeah. And then when these things come up, because when you get into marriage, when you get a marriage, it's not like all the stuff you was dealing with just disappears.
It's not because they think it does.
Not at all.
Listen,
it magnifies.
Marriage is a magnifier. Mm-hmm. So all of it actually gets bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And so this wholeness is that I have an awareness that as this thing comes up, I know who to go to.
Yeah.
I don't shut down. Mm. I don't internalize it. And even if you do, knowing how to ask for help. You know what I'm saying? Knowing how to ask for help. It's a maturity. Like, to me, wholeness, it really is. It's a maturity that when these things come up, I learn better responses and coping mechanisms and tools, spiritual and natural, to help me through this. And so, go ahead.
There are certain levels of exploration, revelation that are reserved for only marriage, right? There are certain impacts of warfare that you will only experience in marriage, right?
Yeah.
You won't be introduced to certain things in your single realm, right? And there are levels of spiritual powers that will wait for you to get married, but also there are levels of revelation that God will reveal to you in marriage that you ain't gonna get single on the block, right? So there is a level of preparation that you should contribute to in your single realm, but also know that behind the ring, behind door number I do, there is access and information that God's like, all right, you cool with, you're good with that, right? But now here's the other side, right? That I can't, because you know, once you enter covenant, this is a different level of terming. This is a different level of agreement. This is, there is no, you know, God is not saying, you know, I'm in covenant. We are in covenant with God as in our singleness, but now we're entering covenant with him and another person, right? That's a different ballgame, people, right?
Yeah.
And you're not going to get access to that information until you're on the other side. Like you said, look, I found out there was different levels of strength that I didn't know I was possible of attaining. Why? Yeah. Because it's a different faith now. Right?
Yeah.
It's a different level of faith now. Ooh, that was a good one. Wow. You know what I'm saying? So, but you don't know until you hit that other side. It's like when Rob was like, dude, I felt married when we stepped off that boat. I felt married. And you don't know it until you experience it. You're like, yo, I'm not single no more. Something spiritual, supernatural happens in the realm. It's like, you know, even when you know, you're intimate for the first time. It's like, this feels different. This is married making love. And it's totally different. You feel the spirit change. And I think people need to understand that change is going to happen. Change is okay.
It doesn't stop.
It doesn't.
Right. Any last questions you want to ask?
No, I don't have any questions. No, I think this was a good conversation. I definitely feel like we have to do better with the information that we're taking in and the information that we're receiving, because I think a lot of time it really clouds our perspective and it clouds our judgment. And so if you have the right person standing in front of you, you wouldn't even know, because social media told you that they was a bum and you shouldn't talk to them, and that's not what it's supposed to look like. And if he's not taking you on expensive dates every time you go out, then he ain't the one for you. Like, you really have to be careful about the information that you're ingesting, what you're receiving, and what you're allowing other single people to pour into you, because there's only so much wisdom that somebody in the same situation can actually give you. And so you do have to be careful with that. And then just to echo what everyone was saying about like just the journey of wholeness, it is so important that you do what you can while you're single, because you'll have plenty more to do when you're married. And you don't want the two to have to overlap, because you will be overwhelmed and stressed out. So take care of what you can take care of. Like, the Lord will reveal what he will reveal when you're single. Deal with that. Because when you get married, he got some other stuff for you. Okay?
I would say practice the habit.
I was done.
Sorry, go ahead.
I wasn't done. Cut me off.
You ready to go?
Yeah. Okay. No, the last thing I was going to say, though, the Bible talks.
Also, I was going to say.
Be quiet. The Bible talks about how iron sharpens iron, and that's exactly what your spouse is going to do to you. And so we like to think of like, or we get into these marriages and stuff starts popping up, and the first sign of trouble or the first argument, we're like, oh my God, did I make a mistake? Oh my gosh, this isn't supposed to be like this. This is supposed to be my soulmate, quote unquote. Right. Like, why are we arguing? Why am I, like, it's not
Why is this
bad.
So hard? It was easy.
Right, like, it shouldn't be this way. And we start to question and doubt everything about our marriage, and I want to encourage somebody, like, you're going to have disagreements. Like, there are going to be things that don't line up right away. Like, you're not going to like this person every single day that you are married to them, and that
is going to stink
okay.
in the morning.
That's okay. If they are truly what God sent for you, their
he
purpose
may leave
is
the toilet seat up. It may happen.
You done?
You'll be okay.
You done?
Sorry.
You done? If they are truly what God has for you, they're meant to scratch you a little bit. They're meant to irritate some things within you so that you can get to a place of change and growth. And that is not a bad thing.
Sure.
So stop doubting your decisions, because you realize that there's also going to be some level of warfare attached to it. I don't want to, you know.
And get around, single and married people, this is my parting words, and it goes right with what Brittany was saying. Get around people that value marriage.
Yeah.
Single people. If your friends are always bashing men or bashing women or bashing marriage, always got something negative, you need to change your circle.
Yep.
Married people, if
the
you
dating
have
pool
single,
has pee in it. Okay.
Right.
You got to piss the attitude. Piss poor.
Listen, or are you the pee? It got pee in it because of you.
You ain't got no chlorine up in you. Got it.
And then married people, you know, if you have other married friends or even single friends, but they don't value or honor or respect marriage in their actions, in their thoughts and the things that they do.
Yeah.
Those relationships need to be, because your company, I mean, it matters. Mm-hmm. It matters who you lend your ear to. It matters.
Yeah.
And so, that's the practice.
Thank you. Thank you.
Totally just got
sorry, he's got to go to work. Thank you.
No. I totally just was like, thank you.
Thank you. I see them. I know the body language. I know what the body language is.
No, we're good. We're good.
Listen, Wilson, we have enjoyed this. We definitely will see you sometime physically in 2022 for sure.
I'd be forgetting that I have never met Faith in the physical. Like I literally forget that I've never actually seen her in person. It's pretty funny.
Wild.
That's interesting. You got a whole digital love affair. That's awesome.
You talk to people all and you just assume that you've met them, and I'm like, I've never actually met her in real life. It's funny.
Well, offline. This is real life.
Well, you even know what I mean.
You haven't given her a hug.
You know what I mean.
Got it.
Just close the show.
Offline. Validating this digital romance as well.
Anyways, thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of the Classic R&B Podcast. We hope that, you know, this episode of realness blesses you, gives you some real insight, and we will catch y'all next time.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Classic R&B Podcast. To keep the conversation going, be sure to check us out on Facebook at The Classic R&B Life, on Instagram at Our Classic R&B Life, or you can check out our website at theclassicrnblife.com. We can't wait to hear from you.
Peace.